Section 2. Early African Civilizations. Voices from the Past. The Arab traveler Ibn Battuta once described an audience between an African king and his subjects. When the king calls one of his subjects while he is in session, the man invited takes off his clothes and wears patched clothes, takes off his turban, puts on a dirty cap, and goes in raising his clothes and trousers up his legs halfway to his knees. He advances with humility, looking like a beggar. He hits the ground with his elbows. He hits it hard. He stands bowed, listening to what the king says. When one of them speaks to the king and he gives him an answer, he removes his clothes from his back and throws dust on his head and back, as a person does when bathing with water. I used to wonder how they do not blind their eyes. Ibn Battuta in Black Africa, Saeed Hamdoun and Noel King, editors, 1975. Because most African societies did not have written languages, much of what we know about these societies comes from descriptions recorded by foreign visitors, like Ibn Battuta. The emergence of civilization. After Asia, Africa is the largest of the continents. It stretches nearly 5,000 miles, or around 8,000 kilometers, and is almost completely surrounded by two oceans and two seas. Africa includes four distinct climate zones, a mild zone across the northern coast and southern tip, deserts in the north, the Sahara, and south, the Kalahari, the rainforest along the equator, and savannas, a broad grasslands that stretch across Africa, both north and south of the rainforest. These four climate zones have affected the way the peoples of Africa live. The mastery of farming gave rise to the first civilizations in Africa. Egypt, discussed in Chapter 1, Kush, and Aksum. Much later, Islam became an important factor in the development of African empires. Kush. By 2000 BC, a busy trade had grown between Egypt and the area to the south known as Nubia. Although subject to Egyptian control for many centuries, Nubia freed itself around 1000 BC and became the independent state of Kush. Kush soon emerged as one of the major trading states in the region. Kush flourished from about 250 BC to about AD 150, but declined because of the rise of a new power in the region known as Aksum. Aksum was located in the highlands of what is now Ethiopia. Aksum was founded as a colony by Arabs from the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. Eventually, Aksum emerged as an independent state that combined Arab and African cultures. Perhaps the most distinctive feature of Aksumite civilization was its religion. In AD 324, King Ezana converted to Christianity and made it the official religion of Aksum. The rise of Islam in the Arabian Peninsula also had an impact on Africa. In 641, Arab forces took control of Egypt. By the early 8th century, the entire coastal region of North Africa, as far west as the Strait of Gibraltar, was under Arab rule. Several Muslim trading states were established on the African coast of the Red Sea. Until the 12th century, relations between Christian Aksum and its Muslim neighbors were relatively peaceful. Then, conflict arose when the Muslim states along the coast moved inland to gain control over the trade that Aksum had dominated for hundreds of years. Reading check. Identifying. What were the first three civilizations in Africa? The Royal Kingdoms of West Africa. During the 8th century, a number of major trading states emerged in the area south of the Sahara in West Africa. Eventually, these states, Ghana, Mali, and Songhai, made the Sahara into one of the leading avenues of world trade. The Kingdom of Ghana. Ghana, the first great trading state in West Africa, emerged in the 5th century AD in the upper Niger River Valley. The modern state of Ghana takes its name from this early state, but is located in the forest region to the south. The kings of Ghana were strong rulers who governed without any laws. Their wealth was vast. To protect their kingdom and enforce their wishes, Ghanaian kings relied on a well-trained regular army of thousands of men. Ghana had an abundance of gold. The heartland of the state was located near one of the richest gold-producing areas in all of Africa. Ghana's gold made it the center of an enormous trade empire. Muslim merchants from North Africa brought to Ghana metal goods, textiles, horses, and salt. Salt was especially desirable. Used to preserve food, salt was also important because people needed extra salt to replace what their bodies lost in the hot climate. Ghanaians traded their abundant gold for salt and other products brought from North Africa. Much of the trade across the desert was carried by the Berbers, nomadic peoples whose camel caravans became known as the Fleets of the Desert. Camels became a crucial factor in trade across the Sahara. They were well adapted to conditions in the desert, since they could drink enormous quantities of water at one time and needed little food for days. The Kingdom of Mali. The state of Ghana flourished for several hundred years. Eventually, it was weakened by wars, and it collapsed around 1200. In its place rose a number of new trading societies in West Africa. The greatest of these states was Mali, established in the mid-13th century by Sundiata Keita. Like George Washington in the United States, Sundiata is considered the founder of his nation. Sundiata defeated the Ghanaians and captured their capital in 1240. He united the people of Mali and created a strong government. Mali built its wealth and power on the gold and salt trade. Most of its people, however, were farmers who grew grains such as sorghum, millet, and rice. One of the richest and most powerful kings was Mansa Musa, who ruled from 1307 to 1337. Mansa means king. Mansa Musa doubled the size of the Kingdom of Mali. He created a strong central government and divided the kingdom into provinces. Once he felt secure, Mansa Musa decided, as a devout Muslim, to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. A king, of course, was no ordinary pilgrim. Mansa Musa was joined by thousands of servants and soldiers. Accompanying the people were hundreds of camels carrying gold, as well as food, clothing, and other supplies. Mansa Musa's pilgrimage caused people to view the king as a great ruler of a powerful and prosperous kingdom. Mansa Musa left another legacy. Earlier rulers of Mali had already converted to Islam, but Mansa Musa strongly encouraged the building of mosques, such as the famous Sankor Mosque in Timbuktu, as well as the study of the Quran in his kingdom. The Kingdom of Songhai. By the 15th century, a new kingdom, Songhai, was beginning to surpass Mali. Under the leadership of Sunni Ali, who created the Sunni dynasty in 1464, Songhai began to expand. Sunni Ali spent much of his reign on horseback and on the march as he led his army in one military campaign after another. His conquests gave Songhai control of the trading empire, especially trade in salt and gold that had made Ghana and Mali so prosperous. The Songhai Empire reached the height of its power during the reign of Mohamed Touré. He continued Sunni Ali's policy of expansion, creating an empire that stretched 1,000 miles along the Niger River. The chief cities of the empire prospered as never before from the salt and gold trade until the end of the 16th century. Reading check. Summarizing. What were Mansa Musa's accomplishments? Societies in East and South Africa. In Eastern Africa, a variety of states and small societies took root. Islam strongly influenced many of them. Some became extremely wealthy as a result of trade. Beginning in the first millennium B.C., farming peoples who spoke dialects of the Bantu family of languages began to move from the region of the Niger River into East Africa and the Congo River Basin. They moved slowly, not as invading hordes, but as small communities. On the eastern fringe of the continent, the Bantu-speaking peoples gradually began to take part in the regional trade that moved by sea up and down the East African coast. Beginning in the 8th century, Muslims from the Arabian Peninsula and the Persian Gulf began to settle at ports along the coast. The result was the formation of a string of trading ports that included Mogadishu, Mombasa, and Kilwa in the south. In the southern half of the African continent, states formed more slowly than in the north. From about 1300 to about 1450, Zimbabwe was the wealthiest and most powerful state in the region. It prospered from the gold trade with the trading communities on the eastern coast of the continent. The ruins of Zimbabwe's capital, known as Great Zimbabwe, illustrate the kingdom's power and influence. The town sits on a hill overlooking the Zambezi River and is surrounded by stone walls. The local people stacked granite blocks together without mortar to build the massive walls. 10,000 people would have been able to live in the area enclosed by the walls. Reading check. Evaluating. What do the walled enclosures tell us about Great Zimbabwe? African society and culture. The relationship between king and subjects was often less rigid in African society than in other civilizations. Frequently, the ruler would allow people to voice their complaints to him. Still, the king was held in a position high above all others. Few Africans, of course, ever met with their kings. Most people lived in small villages. Their sense of identity was determined by their membership in an extended family and a lineage group. Lineage groups, which were communities of extended family units, were the basis of African society. Early African religious beliefs varied from place to place. Most African societies shared some common religious ideas. These ideas included belief in various gods, the power of diviners, people who believe they can foretell events, and the importance of ancestors. In early Africa, as in much of the rest of the world at the time, the arts, whether painting, literature, or music, were a means of serving religion. In the 13th and 14th centuries, metalworkers at Ifa, in what is now southern Nigeria, produced handsome bronze and iron statues. The Ifa sculptures may have influenced artists in Benin, in West Africa, who produced equally impressive works in bronze during the same period. The Benin sculptures include bronze heads, many of kings, and figures of various types of animals. Reading check. Summarizing. Describe the role of lineage groups on African society.